super battle suit is discharged into space, changing the life of one hapless duck and transforming him into a hero called Wonder Duck.
What's up? What's up? Welcome to Catch the Craze Podcast. So tonight we have our special guest. We're going to be talking to Serena Sanchez, aka Miss Reina, about Black Rhapsody Part 1 on coming to Indiegogo. And my co-host can't be here because it's his birthday. So let's get this show started. Why not?
Show for independence all around, giving you a platform to spread your word all over town. Catch the Craze is the place to promote to your fans with the dream of Medina and Sam the Crazy Man. Subscribe to our show and never miss an episode. It's time to get your mats, listen to us on the go. Updated every week, we never miss a day. Join the squad, come on in, it's time to catch the craze. If you are an independent,
catch the craze!
Making moves on your own,
catch the craze!
On your grind in the streets,
catch the craze!
Join the movement,
catch the craze!
Yeah, George, we did it again. Come on now, yeah, you want to do it. Catch the craze. Welcome to Catch the Craze Podcast. I'm your host with the most, Sam, the Crazy Man, Vera. And we're flying this ship dolo tonight because it is the Medina's birthday, the night before the launch of The Adventures of Wonder Duck. So if you signed up, thank you so much. If you haven't signed up, what are you waiting for? The link is in the summary. Sign up for the launch party tomorrow night, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. George will be doing a lot of raffles. You know, he's the candy man. He gives a lot of stuff away. So he's doing, I think, about three raffles tomorrow night, the first half hour, because I think at 8:30 he's pushing that button. So for the over, I think it's over 100 people that signed up, thank you so much. He appreciates each and every one of you. He's been working hard on this campaign. So we hope to see you there. Join us for the live stream. That'll be fun. And for those of you who back Wonder Duck and sign up and back There's Nailing on My Toilet, which is launching on May 31st. Do I have it on the screen? Do I even have it on the screen? Let's see. Yes, I do. For those of you who back Wonder Duck and back There's Nailing on My Toilet, which is launching May 31st, you'll get this refrigerator magnet of duty, super duty, as he goes against the diabolical egomaniac overlord nemesis Poopoo. So you have to be a physical backer of both campaigns. And if you're a return backer from issue number one, physical backer, you're going to get that magnet. If you're a return digital backer of issue number one of There's Nailing on My Toilet and you come back for a digital copy of issue number two, there is a wallpaper, digital wallpaper for your phone or your computer. So there's something for everybody. So we hope to see you there and join us for the live launch party tomorrow night. It's going to be fire. With that said, everything's going well. I'm in the final stages of getting ready for the licensing expo in Vegas. This is probably one of the biggest undertakings I've ever taken in my life. It's you know, the stuff keeps coming in, you know, the props and the booth setup. You know, I have, great thing. I got my boy Paul Shear. Who's great with people, great with guest service. He and I go way back. And so he's going to be there riding with me for the event. He'll be there Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And on Monday, when I get there to set up the booth, I have Muscles from Brussels. I have a buddy of mine that I met through family who actually lives in Vegas. So he's actually coming to help me set up the booth on Monday because Paul won't be able to get there till, I think, midnight. His plane lands at 11:30, so he's not going to get to the hotel till like midnight. So I'll have to set up the booth Monday by myself. So my buddy, who's actually a restaurant owner, he's coming over. He looks spitting image of Arnold Schwarzenegger. He's just diesel. He's coming to represent and help me set up. So, you know, I'm going straight from the airport to the Mandalay Bay Convention Center, set up my booth. It's 10 foot by 10 foot. I have 10 3 feet by 8.5 feet graphics that have to go against, you know, like wallpaper for the entire booth that I have to put up, plus set up the table and all that stuff. So it's gonna be fire getting ready for that. Pretty excited. So again, the link is in the summary, guys. If you haven't seen it already, check out the sign up for the launch of Black Rhapsody on Indiegogo. It's there for you guys. And we're gonna talk. We're gonna find out what it's about. Why Indiegogo over Kickstarter? We're gonna learn a little about Miss Raina. So it's gonna be a lively conversation. So if anybody decides to join, don't be afraid to ask questions. And again, don't forget Thursday morning, the Morning Brew with the Crazy Crew, where George and I are gonna be following up on the conversation I started on Monday on the Crazy Channel Less, where, you know, I did the math on how many units you actually have to sell in comic stores in order to make a profit to be able to keep printing to get the stuff back into stores. You know, and the reason why we did that is because I saw an article where someone said 3,000 units and they were just way off base. There's no way that was going to help you. You're going to stay in the red. You're not even going to be able to afford to print it again. So check out the Crazy Nintendo list if you haven't done so already. So what we're going to do is I'm just going to, since George is not here, and don't forget the launch party is tomorrow night. Bam, there it is. Launch party, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's going to be fun for the Adventures of Wonder Duck. I actually did a piece that's part of a stretch goal for the Adventures of Wonder Ducks. You want to check that out. What I'm going to do right now is I'm going to run a promo for There's an Alien in My Toilet. And when we come back, we're going to be talking to Miss Raina about Black Rhapsody and much more. So here we go. Hi, I'm Samuel, and I'm the creator of There's an Alien in My Toilet, issue number 2, coming to Kickstarter. I'm so excited about this series. It's filled with variant covers, homage covers, and not only that, you get the guidebook, you can get the coloring book, and also the back issue variant covers from issue 1 if you missed that one. But not only that, I'm excited about the activity book. This one is filled with how to draw duty characters, puzzles, mazes, trivia questions, and so much more. But that's not all. I'm introducing volume 2 of the trading card game. And this one has the element cards, the level 1 cards, the villain cards, the hero cards, and so much more. But then you can also get the stickers. If you missed out on the sticker pack, here's your chance to get as many stickers as you want of some of the most adorable characters from the book. I'm so excited over the years that I've received so many critic reviews, especially the newest one from Mary Dumas from Pop Culture Place, who purchased 5 copies for her store, and she recommends it to every parent that comes along. Thank you so much. I truly appreciate you, Mary. So, I hope that you all come back and support There's an Alien in My Toilet, issue number 2. And for all you physical backers that backed us on issue 1, and you're coming back for issue 2, I have a special gift for you. This amazing refrigerator magnet of Super Duty as he does battle against the diabolical egomaniac overlord nemesis, Poo Poo. And that's my way of just saying thank you to every one of you. So if you haven't done so already, please sign up. And when we go live, make sure you pledge. I appreciate every one of you. Have a great day. Hello there, Miss Raina. Welcome to the States.
Hello. Can you hear me good?
Yes, I can hear you.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
How about thank you for coming? So, you know, before we begin, let everybody know who you are.
I'm sorry, you roboted a bit. I couldn't hear you.
Did you? So, yeah, just introduce yourself and tell everybody what you do and who you are.
Hello, my name is Miss Raina. I am an up-and-coming comic creator. My first project is Black Rhapsody, a horror comic. I am new to the indie comic scene.
Oh, well, welcome. So where are we speaking to you from? Where are you located?
I am located in New York.
Ah, nice. What part?
New York City. I don't want to specify any more than the city.
Well, I grew up in Queens, and I was born in Brooklyn, raised in
Manhattan.
Queens. Yeah, Manhattan. Yeah, then I moved to Jersey. So now I'm in Texas. I've been in New York my whole life. Let's talk a little bit about you before we talk about your campaign. So, you know, what were you into growing up and how did you get into comics?
I was into like manga. You know what manga is, right?
Yes.
Like Japanese comics. I was into Japanese comics before I got into Western comics. I didn't get into Western comics until high school. I got into manga in, I think, my last or second year of middle school. I don't remember. I know it was middle school. And the first manga I had read was a shoujo manga called Red River. In case you don't know what shoujo is basically manga oriented to young girls.
Okay. So what was it about it that appealed to you?
The storytelling and the art, because to be honest, the comic was a very mature one, so there was like sex and nudity in it. Keep in mind, I was in middle school. I don't know how this comic came upon me or who was reading it prior, but it was a mature shoujo comic. And what drew me to it was not just the storytelling, but also the art. Because the storytelling was basically Game of Thrones if it had time travel in it.
Right. Right. So what was it about the art?
I liked how sleek and how, like, if I'm going to be honest, I liked how, this is the honest truth, I liked how good-looking the dudes looked in it. Because there were a lot of male characters, so I was just like, oh, this guy looks very nice.
there you go, right? Oh, that's pretty dope. Where did you pick it up? From a comic shop? Were you at like Barnes & Noble? Where did you pick up your first book?
I picked up my first book literally on my desk. I think it was in my desk, but it was just there. So wow. Assuming that there was like the previous, it belonged to one of the kids from the previous class. And they had forgotten. I didn't know who the kid that was sitting at my desk was, so I couldn't return it to him, so I just kept it.
Nice. So once you were done with that story, did it like influence you to go and to a comic shop or to a bookstore to get another issue or what?
Yeah, it influenced me to go to the library to see if I can get more copies of it or start from the beginning, because I believe it was volume 15 or 16 and I was so lost.
Right. Interesting. So were at that point, at that stage when you were reading this book, did you know that you wanted to create?
No, it's just that I wanted to just keep reading manga at the time. I didn't want to create until like years later, until I was an adult.
Okay. Now, did you join in any like clubs that were reading the same books or online social, like the communities?
Online social communities, yes. Clubs, no, because I was too introverted to talk to people.
Right. Okay. So then, let's fast forward. You know, years later, where was it? Where were you? What was the moment when you said, "You know what? I can do this."
What got me into wanting to write comics was, I think, the last 2 years of college, which was, I believe, 2019. Yeah, somewhere in the 2019, where I decided to like go into writing comics because I saw other independent comic creators who didn't have anything to their name have successful like Kickstarter or Indiegogo campaigns.
Right.
Like, I was inspired by how they could, like, because I always thought if you were going to create a comic, you had to go to the big two or some, like, independent publisher, like Dark Horse, Image, or something in that, one of those publishers.
Right.
So I kind of momentarily gave up on it because there's no way I'm going to get hired by Image or any of those top publishers. Right. But it turns out I was wrong when I saw other creators crowdfunding their projects on these sites and being successful. So that kind of inspired me, along with the fact that my friends kind of pushed me into it because they liked my idea. Because I think I was one of the few like comic creators out there, or like budding comic creators that wanted to go into like the manga scene.
Right. Eric the
Guapo. Okay, Eric.
Hey, Eric. So now, when you decided that you wanted to write, did you have to research script writing? How did you approach your first project?
I had to research script writing. I went to a website that had like files from previous writers, like Ron Mars, Brian Michael Bendis, Frank Miller, and numerous others. So I was kind of like reading their scripts and taking the comic page and matching them together to see how they, to see how the artists conveyed what the writer was trying to say.
Right. Right. So your first draft, what did that look like?
Oh boy. Let me tell you, it was bad. I did not. I'm going to be honest. I struggled with character voice, like telling characters like apart from each other. Because one thing my editor pointed out is that she couldn't differentiate which character was which. Despite the names, all the characters sounded the same. So I started like reading up on some manga or comics to see how it was done.
Right. Okay.
And I can like hear different characters' tones, way of speaking in my head, and that kind of like, okay, now I understand what I need to do next time.
So how many drafts did you have to work through before you said, you know what, I got it?
5 drafts, because I am a perfectionist.
Nice. So let's talk about that process. So what when so you land on the idea, you know what, I'm going to write my book. What came first, the idea for the story or the character?
The characters before the story, because originally Black Rhapsody started out as like a edgy fanfic, edgy zombie hunting fanfiction of mine. Right. When I was a teenager, so I just took the characters from there and put them in this new setting, just redid everything. Because I was not happy, for obvious reasons, with the previous story I did.
Right.
So I tried to reinvent the characters for this new story. One of the characters is the one that you're seeing in my icon, right. Alethea Mahalia. She was originally kind of an unlikable character, but with help from my editor, we were able to give her some nuance.
Nice. So yeah, you said you started with the character. So now, who was this? Was she the first character? And did you start with a storyline for the character? Or you just said, you know what, I have a character, I'm going to tell the story. But did you give that character a backstory before you wrote the story? That was the question.
Yes, I started with her first because she was I was most familiar with her. I had the most distinctive personality, backstory, voice for her. So she was much easier to rework.
Okay. So then what came next? So you identified her, you built her backstory, then what came next for you?
I think the hardest part was actually trying to come up with, like, how does she connect to the main plot?
Right.
Like, how will her story intersect with the story of these other characters? What would be their basic connection? How does she come to head with the villain?
Right. So you already had the fundamentals for where you wanted to go. Now you were just figuring out how to link them.
Yes.
Okay. So now you're in the script writing phase. How long did it take you from first draft to final completion to write out that first story?
To write out the first draft, it took me, I think, a couple of months to write out the first draft because I kept changing things. Because of my perfectionist side, I kept like, this doesn't make sense. Let me use this scene. Maybe this might make a little more sense for the character to do. Plus, I was also still in school at the time, so I didn't always have the time to write my draft. But once I graduated, I immediately tried to finish it.
Okay. So now you're at the finished product. You're like, you know what? I'm good with this one. I have it. What was the next step for you? How did you seek out an illustrator?
It was first the editor before I can get to the illustrator, because I will admit that even I, as someone who's new to the NDC, I can admit that I'm not, it wasn't my best work, and I could have improved, because I don't want my illustrator, my artist, to draw something that I wasn't fully comfortable with. So I had an editor friend of mine helped me through the drafting process. And once the drafting process was done, I went to go look for an artist. I originally had an artist for Black Rhapsody. The one who did the art
right.
of the icon that you're seeing right now was originally going to be my artist, but due to circumstances, personal circumstances on his side, we couldn't get the project done, unfortunately. So I got Jen Apple, the artist that's working on the book. You've probably seen her art on the mailing list, as well as on my my Twitter account.
Okay. So, you know, I find it fascinating that you knew at your beginning stage that you needed to partner with an editor, because most independent comic book writers don't understand the power of the editor until later in the game. And you knew that early on. So
yes.
Where did you know to look?
How did I know to look for an editor?
Where did you find your editor? You know, when you came to that conclusion, I got to get somebody to just, you know, to help, you know, provide some guidance on and make sure that I've linked everything. Where did you start to look for an editor?
I started to look for an editor on YouTube immediately, because there was, I forgot what the name was, Professor Geek. Yeah, Professor Geek was supposed to be my editor, but he had a lot on his plate, so he couldn't edit the script. So then I looked to one of my YouTuber friends by the name of Micah Curtis, who put me in connection with Piper, who helped me correct the draft and make it to the final stage with a bit of a more like improved upon draft.
Okay. So now you got the editor. Was it the editor that helped you find the artist, or what happened from that point?
I found my artist on my own. I found her through ArtStation. I connected with her through email.
Nice. What's up, Johnny? Okay. So then what was it about this artist that you felt was she had the right look for your story?
Yeah, she's a manga artist, and I always imagine Black Rhapsody being a manga story, or at least an English-American manga story.
Right. Okay. And so talk about that. So this is your first project. What's up, SDD?
Hey, SDD.
Yeah, this is your first project, right? So now you're working with an artist. And so what was that process like? You sent the script. You know, did you get thumbnails back, character design? Talk about your process.
The process is really smooth and quick. Jen is a fast worker. I remember when she did like a character sheet for the main character, Alethea, I fell in love with the art style automatically because she got her down pat. And when I received my first thumbnail, I was impressed. I unlinked you a link to the Twitter pages.
Yeah, I have it right now.
Yeah, if you can bring that up.
Well, I have this.
It's in the private chat. There's another link.
Second. Copy link address. Let me change that.
Right, yeah, click on the second one. Yeah, this one and the second one were by far my most favorite pages because of how detailed and beautiful it is. She translated my script perfectly.
Oh, it's beautiful work. I mean, her line work is, I mean, you don't need color. I mean, the way the lighting, the action sequence, the camera angles, the drama, it's all conveyed in this.
Yes, that's what made me like, yeah, this is the artist for me. She can convey my work smoothly without assistance.
That's fascinating. I mean, it's rare that from coming out the gate, that number one, you were smart enough to know to partner with an editor. And you had an eye for what you knew was going to work for your story, and you nailed it with that partnership. You know, I think that's a great success story, because you know, you hear a lot of horror stories of how, you know, indie creators, they start with somebody, then they're on their fourth artist, and the relationships don't work. So you know, kudos to you.
Yeah, thank you.
So tell us about now the story itself.
Yes, Black Rhapsody is a horror cult thriller story about musical magical girls in a fight against, stay on that page. I want you to stay on that page because that's I'm going to get to that. About musical magical girls in a fight against, no, go back.
You want me to go back? Which one?
No, the one with the guitar.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah, I'm going to get to that in a moment. It's a story about musical magical girls named after mythological goddesses, and they fight against a Lovecraftian pop star, her evil music empire. I based the main villain on Beyoncé Knowles, because why not?
Why not? Don't let the beehive come for you.
But, well, they probably already are.
Yeah, that's pretty dope.
So what the character that you're seeing on screen is the main protagonist, Alethea Mahalia. She is based off the music genre Ethereal Wave, which is a goth music genre. Her magical girl persona is based off the Greek goddess of necromancy, ghosts, magic, witchcraft, and the moon Hecate. So you've probably seen Hecate in the colored page, like the half face, like half part is Alethea, the other half is Hecate.
Right.
This takes place during the what leads up to the how should I say this without spoiling? What leads up to the what happens in the rest of the story?
Okay.
This is leading to the powder keg that kicks everything off. So Alethea here is auditioning at like a record label. But let's just say it doesn't really go the way that she plans.
Mm. Interesting. I mean, that character right there, that pose, that image, that could be a great sticker.
Oh, gosh.
A pinup. I mean,
you are, everyone has said that. It's because of the guitar.
I mean, it's just, no, it's also beautifully rendered. I mean, it's flawless. Yeah. You know, fantastic artwork. You want me to switch to the next?
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. Sorry. These are the villains of the first arc. Right. They're the glamorous marionettes. They are based off of bubblegum pop, which is music oriented towards kids and young teens. So basically, think of whatever is on the Disney Channel at that time. They are based on the Greek goddesses, the Greek Catholic goddesses of vengeance, the Uranids, also known as the Furies. So from left to right, you have Alceto, Megara, and Tisiphone.
Wow. You know, I find fascinating even the names that you've come up with. Where did they come from?
They come from a lot of the names, especially the magical girl names, come from mythology. In this case, it comes from their names come from Greek mythology.
Okay. So how much of that research did you have to do?
I had to do a lot of research on the different goddesses and the music genres that I wanted to pair them with. For example, with the previous page that you had shown with Alethea, I had to find a music genre that would match the goddess Hecate.
Ah, okay. Fascinating.
If you were to listen to Ethereal Wave, it sounds very atmospheric and ghostly at the same time.
Right. So this Indiegogo campaign. How many pages are in this first issue?
35 plus
pages. And when are you anticipating launching it?
Launching it this Saturday. I was supposed to launch it next week, but I didn't have enough assets for the campaign at that time. So I decided to give me and myself and my artists more time to get the stuff together before we launch.
Right. So this is your introduction story. You're introducing a new world to the comic book and manga fans. What can they expect from this first issue?
Last horror and a whole lot of ego between two women. Well, not women, but two females.
Right. Fascinating. And now, is this a 30-day campaign?
Yes.
Okay. Fantastic. So What's your goal for this project?
As in my campaign goal?
No, your goal for like for this, for the, you know, for this series. Is this an ongoing series? Is it a one shot?
Oh, I plan to make an ongoing series.
Like a mini series or like?
No, an ongoing like series with different arcs.
Nice. So, you know, why did you choose one platform over the other? You chose Indiegogo versus Kickstarter.
Well, with Indiegogo, it has to do with Indiegogo being much more like backer or customer friendly. Mm-hmm. With Kickstarter, they don't take the money out your account until after the campaign ends, which is very inconvenient for some backers. Because I have backed some projects on Kickstarter. And it wasn't until the last minute where I actually needed money that I realized I got charged.
Right, yeah.
But with Indiegogo, they take the money immediately out your account, so you don't have to worry about it later.
Right. Fascinating. So, outside of the comic book, is there anything else that you're offering on this campaign that you might want to share?
I plan on offering some prints of one of the characters, as well as having a secret print and a exclusive trading card for mailing list backers.
Right. So when the campaign ends, will your book be available anywhere else on your website, or how can anybody get it? Who are not Indiegogo fans, but still want to get your book.
I don't have a website currently, and I'm not established enough to have it be put on retail just yet.
Right.
I might, for my second campaign, I might do like I might do a second chance for the first book, or I might have the book available in the second campaign with the, like a part two, but with the second book also paired together.
Right. And you know, Indiegogo does offer for you to, when the campaign ends, to offer it on demand through Indiegogo. You can still get orders and fulfill them directly through Indiegogo.
Yeah.
So that's also an option. Awesome. Okay. So where can people find you on social media?
You can find me at Magic Owl Media on Twitter. Mm-hmm. I tend to be there the most promoting Black Rhapsody, as well as other creators.
Right. Yeah, you don't have a Facebook or Instagram. You're all on Twitter.
Yeah.
Okay. So, is there anything about this story that I did not ask you? You would like to share with the audience?
Yes. If I had to describe the story of Black Rhapsody, are you familiar with anime and manga?
Yeah.
Okay. It's basically Madoka Magica meets Berserk with a bit of Gem and the Holograms sprinkled in.
I knew you were going to say Gem and the Holograms.
Because that's basically as what if Gem and the Holograms was a horror story?
Right. Fantastic. So give us the elevator pitch, right? So there are at least 100 campaigns every week that are coming on crowdfunding. Why this one?
Well, if you like female-oriented stories about badass singers versus a all-encompassing musical horror with a bit of blood, violence, and humor in it, sign up for the mailing list now and back Black Rhapsody on launch on Saturday, May 7th.
Yeah, so I just want to say what's up to Keeping It Geekly. And
hey, Cody.
Aurelis just joined, and she says she loves Gem and the Holograms. You should sign up. There you go. So what's up? Says, yo, hope all is well, Mrs. Arena. Yeah, it's fantastic. I think number one, your approach is very smart. I think because you were tactical and methodical, you know, the result is right there in your face. It's beautiful work. You gave it a lot of thought. The story sounds very appealing. Just look at the drama on this. And you're saying it's 35 plus. So what makes it plus?
I plan on adding bonus content.
Ah, and what would that bonus content be?
Fan arts.
Nice. Nice. Fantastic. Are you doing any shows anywhere that people can find you?
I'm doing a show tomorrow. I'm going to go on Dawnchen stream at 12 p.m. tomorrow, and I'll be streaming with Creators Outlet at 8 p.m. tomorrow.
Nice. Now, any Comic Cons at all, or?
Not just yet. I want to wait until I have enough volumes, or I'm more established in the indie comic scene to start doing that.
Right. So your campaign launches this Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And it's running for 30 days, so it runs like it's the first week in June. And besides Creators Outlet and the show that you're doing, is there any other podcasts you're doing along the way?
No. Well, I am doing a show with someone by the name of Mildra.
Okay.
That's on Thursday. But other than that, no.
Okay. Well, if you're a podcaster out there and you haven't had Ms. Rain on the show, get on the show, especially during the campaign.
Also want to share something.
Yeah, go ahead.
I have literally 600 plus signups on my campaign currently.
Look at you on fire. Yeah, you're good. I mean, I'm telling you right now, what you did, in fact, let me actually show the actual Indiegogo page. There it is, bomb. So, the graphics that you selected for the landing page, beautiful. I think your synopsis is right on point. I think the research you did is going to pay off in dividends. And I think this being your first one, I don't think you're going to have a problem building a name for yourself. And it'll happen sooner than later for you. So, I mean, congratulations on everything that you're doing.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Any final words you want to share with the audience?
If you like magical girl stories, dark and stories with ultra violence, music, references to scrupulous celebrities, then sign up for the mailing list for Black Rhapsody now and back on Saturday when it launches.
Absolutely, guys. Check it out. This is definitely, one worth backing. So go and check it out. The link is in the summary. The link is also in the chat. If you haven't gone, so bookmark it, sign up so that you get the alert when she goes live. Any specific time you're hitting that button?
Yes, I'm hitting it at 9 o'clock p.m. on Saturday on Michael Bancroft's channel.
Outstanding. Well, much success to you. Congratulations. You always have a guest spot on the show. Whenever you want to promote anything else down the road, just hit us up. Don't be a stranger. Congratulations again. I think you're going to kick butt with this one.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
You got it. Thank you again. Have a nice day.
Bye.
Bye. So that was Ms. Reyna. And again, the campaign is fuego, bro. I'm telling you right now, go check it out. Black Rhapsody Part 1. I mean, the art is beautiful. The synopsis is very, it's definitely appealing, caught my attention. So if you haven't gone and check it out, give it a shot. Even if you're not an Indiegogo fan, go on over it. There's 600 signups. Then 600 people are not crazy. So they know something that you don't know. So if you haven't checked it out, go check it out. The link is in the summary. Don't be a stranger. And again, remember tomorrow night, my boy, today is George's birthday. Tomorrow night, we are going to be celebrating and get him funded in that first hour during the launch party of The Adventures of Wonder Duck. This is going to be fun. So, George doesn't want to do the dance. He's punking out, but we're going to do the launch party of The Adventures of Wonder Duck tomorrow night, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. There's going to be 3 raffles. It's going to be a lot of fun. So join us tomorrow. It's going to be fire. And if you haven't done so already, sign up for the launch of There's an Alien in My Toilet issue number 2. This one's even crazier. So on this campaign, there's an activity book, 24 pages of how to draw the characters in the book, puzzles, trivia, all that stuff. Check it out. There's a free magnet to return backers, physical backers. You'll get a refrigerator magnet. There it is. And there's so much more that you'll find out along the way. And if you like this episode, don't forget to subscribe. Hit that like button. Subscribe, share it with a friend, let everybody know. And again, so today George is partying like it's 1999. He's going to have a lot of ginger ale because George doesn't drink other than ginger ale. So if you see those photos with him with any kind of, you know, liquor, he's not drinking. So he's enjoying his ginger ale. Happy birthday to Medina. Don't forget tomorrow to, what's up, JD Calderon? Sing happy birthday, Sammy. Nah, you're going to have to sing it with me, Johnny. Johnny, you got to come on the show and you got to sing with me. And so let's give the gift to Mr. Medina of funding in that first hour. A lot of talented artists that worked on it. You had Hector Rodriguez. You had, I'm going to forget names. If I've got your name, don't hate me, but there's a lot of great guest artists on this campaign. And it's going to be dope. And so I'm excited about that. And with that said, you know, another great episode. We're going to end this one early. I'm Sam the Crazy Man Vera. If you like this show, again, please share it with a friend. I appreciate it. And thank you, Diana, who just subscribed to the channel today. We appreciate you. We'd like to shout out the new subscribers. But most of you who subscribe to the show have your stuff on private, so we don't even know who subscribed. So thank you for subscribing, Diana. We appreciate you tremendously. And I just got confirmation for the Denton Comic Con in August that I'll be going to. So I'm happy about that. It's a kids Comic Con in Texas. I'm still waiting for the Dallas Fan Expo. I don't understand it. It's next month. And they still haven't released the Artist Alley list, even though they took my money. They took my money, but I still can't get confirmation from them by email. That doesn't make sense. With that said, I'm the host with the most and the crazy man, Vera. No George Medina. I'm out. Have a great day, everybody. No, I was talking about my friend Laquise. I met him. Say my name. Say my name.
This is what you were thinking?
Oh, he described me. He said, I'm the
idiot. You're listening to Catch the Craze. You're listening to Catch the Craze. You are listening to Catch the Craze.
You're listening to Catch the Craze.
Candy girl.